In Genesis chapter 22, we read these words. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. This is not the first time that God rouses Abraham and says, Abraham, there's something you have to do. Abraham, go to the land that I will show you, and Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. Abraham, Ishmael will not be your heir. Send him away. Abraham, old man Abraham. Old man Abraham, lying in your tent with Isaac, who is your son, your only son, your laughter, your joy, the one on who devolves the promises and the covenants. Take your son, your only son, and go to the land of Moriah, to the place where I will show you. And Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham is an old man. Abraham has been trained in the school of faith, and Abraham does not hesitate. He gets up. He cuts the amount of wood he will need. He gets out the donkey. He calls for two servants. He wakes up the young man. And he says, we go 3 days' journey. And into the wilderness they go, step by step, further away from the tents of Beersheba, further away from the place that has been his home and his greatest delight for these past few years. The writer of Hebrews knew something about faith. He says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. That's how Hebrews 11 begins. And in the middle of Hebrews 11, as he describes the faith of the patriarchs and the faith of the prophets and the faith of those who have gone before, he says this. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Here is the power of faith. Here is the power of faith when it has finally worked its way deep, deep down into the heart of a person. The power of faith that says, I believe two things that are paradoxical. Abraham says, I believe that Isaac is the son of promise and the one on whom the covenant of God devolves. I believe that Abraham is the one that God has promised to me, and that through this miracle child, all the nations of the world will be blessed. I believe that to be true. And I believe that God is calling me to sacrifice him in the land of Moriah. And I believe that I can do that and still have him. And I don't know how. I don't know how. But the writer to the Hebrews says Abraham believed that God could raise him up again. Where does he get that faith? He gets it from the text here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. The actual text in the Hebrew. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship, and we will return to you. It's right there in the text. Abraham is a man of faith. He said, I don't understand it, God. The whole world, when they come to this text, say, we don't understand this text. Why is this in the Bible? Why would God say to Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, the son of laughter, the son of promise, go to Moriah and sacrifice him? We don't understand. What's it all about? Abraham will do this alone. He says to his two servants, you cannot come with me. What will this be like? Abraham says, I don't want anybody to see me. Don't want anybody with us. I'm going to take the boy. He sees from afar. I read in that there's some distance off. They could have gone closer. It could have been a shorter walk. He says, no, I want a longer walk with Isaac. Come on, son. And they take up the wood. He believes God's promise and he believes God's command. And he doesn't know how to put those things together, but he does it. And so up the mountain they go. Abraham is an old man. He's older than the oldest man in this building right now. He's too old to carry wood sufficient for a sacrifice. And so he takes up the burden of this lumber and he lays it on the strong young shoulders of his son. And the two of them began to climb together, both with their faces upon the summit. What a good boy Isaac is. He doesn't complain about the weight or the distance. The boy looks at his father, though, and says, Father, behold, we have the fire and we have the wood. But Father, where's the sacrifice? Father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The faith of Abraham, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they go on together with their faces towards the summit of Moriah. And when they get to the place the Lord showed them, they set down the wood and they set down the fire and they begin to gather the stones. And the text tells us that they build an altar and then they arrange the wood for the sacrifice. And then Moses blanks part of the story. It's just not there. You go, what happens next? The next scene we have says that he bound Isaac and laid him upon the altar. How'd he do that? This is not a moment of violence where suddenly Abraham turns on his son, Isaac, and Isaac tries to flee and Abraham has to tackle. It couldn't happen. Abraham's not strong enough to carry wood up a mountain. So he puts it on his son Isaac. It tells us something about the age and the size of Isaac. That here is a man, a lad, who can carry wood up a mountain and help to build an altar. Moses doesn't tell us. But this is not a moment of violence. This is wonder of wonder, a moment of trust upon trust. The moment when the Son of Promise, the one on whom all the hopes and promises of the covenant will rest, submits himself to his Father and is bound with cords and lays himself upon the altar at the top of Mount Moriah. It's the only way it could happen. The Son submits, the Father binds. Back to the text, verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up as a burnt offering the ram instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And so it is. That this moment echoes down through the annals of time, throughout all of Jewish history. This moment casts a great shadow. When Abraham's descendants and Isaac's descendants and Jacob's descendants are in captivity in Israel or in Egypt for 400 years, God says, listen, take the blood of a substitute, a lamb, and slay it and put the blood on your doorposts. For I'm going to send my angel to pass over and I'm going to claim for myself the firstborn son of every home that is not covered in the blood of the lamb. The firstborn is mine. And so it is that when Moses receives the law, God says to Moses, every firstborn creature belongs to me, and you must redeem it with blood. And so when your firstborn child is born, you must redeem him. He says, I will not receive human sacrifice. You must redeem him. Take the blood of a lamb as a substitute. Slay the lamb. Take home your son. It's an echo. There's a glimmer in every single sacrifice. There's a glimmer of the moment when Abraham's hand is stayed and his eyes are directed instead to the ram caught by its horns in the thicket, the substitute. And never was there richer worship upon this Mount Moriah than at that day when Abraham and Isaac stood together and watched as the flames consumed the sacrifice of a substitute. Why interrupt the whole story with this story? You know why. You know why this story is in Genesis. You know why this goes down through time. This is a story that is woven together year by year and promise by promise, command by command and life by life. But maybe you don't know everything. You see, here on the top of Mount Moriah, 3 days' journey from Beersheba, where Abraham and Isaac had lived those many years before, here at the top of Mount Moriah, a man named Ornan the Jebusite built a wine press and farmed his farm until the day that David came up and said, I must offer sacrifice to God. And he said, I will give the land and all the oxen. And David said to him, I will not receive from you. I will not offer to God sacrifice that costs me nothing. He pays a great sum, purchases the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, offers a sacrifice to God there. That's on the top of Mount Moriah, the very place where Isaac had been spared by a substitutionary ram. If you've got your Bible, look at it for one moment at 2 Chronicles chapter 3, a fascinating thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David, his father, at the place David had appointed on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, on the very place where God had spared Isaac, at the place where Israel for generations would now come to sacrifice and to worship with this glimmer, this shadow that kept on, they thought, pointing back to how Isaac was spared, but it wasn't pointing back because the shadow is cast from an event that is yet to come. For this is not the last time that a father and son would walk with their face towards the place of sacrifice. On Good Friday, bearing the weight of human sin, the Son of God begins his climb towards the summit of Golgotha. He is submissive and obedient. He knows what his Father requires of him, but both the Father and the Son know that the story of Abraham and Isaac was only a dress rehearsal for this moment, because the meaning of that story and the meaning of every sacrifice that comes after it, the meaning of it only has meaning in this event, because in this event, Jesus is both the Son and the Ram. And there will be no angel to stay the Father's hand. Darkness falls and the blow is struck. And the Son cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then a little while later, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And then the Son of God, the one upon whom all the promise and covenant hopes rest, dies. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus called out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things.